And last week, I marked the end of 16 years for me here at Hope Baptist Church. I'm now in my 17th year as pastor here at Hope Baptist Church. When I came to this church in that little building next door, Bud King had rounded me up, said they needed a preacher. They'd been several months without a pastor. And I came to that little country church, Hope Missionary Baptist Church. Wasn't a lot of folks. Bud and his wife Selma, Melvin King Jr., then later on Melba King, she got saved. Charlie and Jeannie Lukey. Charlie's gone on to be with the Lord. Then she married Bob Griffin. Bob is with the Lord. Mavis Eddington lived back here on the lake. She's with the Lord. Evelyn Lockby and her son Rob. Evelyn's with the Lord now. Freddie Martin. Freddie Martin ministered to me, sang that song, had that banjo, the clawhammer style banjo, and he'd sing God Can. And as I went through the struggle of pastoring a church, which I knew that I couldn't do it, but Freddie, through the ministry of that song, I knew that God could do what I couldn't do. God could. God can, and God is, and God always will. Ted and Mabel Nelson. I don't know if anybody here knows Ted and Mabel Nelson. They've gone on to be with the Lord. Ted played a little mandolin and sang like Bill Monroe. He loved doing those old Bill Monroe songs. I had a little thin mustache. Kind of looked like our Uncle Ralph. Really enjoyed their company. And Herschel and Patty Bird. Patty was leading sin. The church, man, they'd been without a pastor a long time, but you could feel the warmth when you walked in the church. Man, and Evelyn and Jeannie made some pies back in them days. It was good food. We had some good fellowship, just not many folks. Herschel told me that on some Sundays they'd remodeled that church over there and they had a payment to make, and said sometimes they'd pass that offering plate around three times to get the payments made. My. This is the first church I ever pastored. And Lord willing, it'll be the last one I ever pastor. Unless folks run me off. Joyce played piano for a while, just recorded piano for us. And so I already ran off with that first piano player. So, but there's no higher calling in this life that God calls you to a ministry. And you never know who he's going to call. And if he'll call me, he might call you, because he can call anybody. If God can use me to a work, he can use you to a work. But I wrestle with my flesh over this and this pastoring thing. And I knew that God can. And God kept opening the door, and the door wouldn't shut. So here I am, and now I'm 17 years. And I thank God for the last 16 years. I look forward to another 16, but my guess is by another 16 years, I won't even be able to remember how to find this church, let alone preach. But I'm going to go to Job chapter 5. Brother Phil started the message this morning. Trouble. What do we do when we're in trouble? Well, in Job chapter 5 and verse 8, there's a discourse here of Job's friend, what he later termed as his miserable comforters. But Job's friend is giving Job advice, and just like Brother Phil said earlier, a lot of times folks will go through a struggle of some kind, and always his good friends will think that he's caught up in some sin, when most of the time you don't have a clue really what's going on. All Job's buddies thought it was Job's sin is why God was messing with him, and that wasn't it at all. God used Job to shut the mouth of the devil, and Job had a little self-righteousness problem. God took care of that too. Said, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? You're so smart. And I don't want to, I'm paraphrasing God there. I don't want to do that too much. So, but Job 5:8, Eliphaz, his buddy Eliphaz, says this. He's talking to Job, man, who's down and out. Man, he hid the end of the barrel. And Eliphaz says, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Let's pray. Father, Help us today to understand that you're still on the throne, Lord, and you still love your people, and you still shower blessings and protection and love and deliverance to your people, Lord. Help us to understand that, and help us to understand what Job learned on committing our cause unto the Lord our God. Thank you for so great a salvation. Thank you for each home represented here this morning. And we'll praise you and give you glory for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I would seek in the garden, unto God would I commit my cause. Then you go down to verse 19, and he says, the Bible says, he shall deliver thee in six troubles. Yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth, for thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field. And the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. He says, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Eliphaz advising Job here, and even though Job called his friends miserable comforters and physicians of no value, we can still see the truth and the advice given here that God recorded. Do we as Christians, have we learned that? Do we as Christians, have we learned? Have you learned this morning to commit your cause unto God? I went through a thing a couple weeks ago. Just burdened down over something, and I had a knot in my stomach over it. And I couldn't get rid of it. And finally, I just fell on my face before God. And I was on my face for a while before God. I was there all by myself in a living room in there, and knelt down at elbows up on a chair there, and hands up to God. And I said, God, I need you to take this from me, Lord. I want to give it to you. I'm asking you, Lord, to take it from me. You know, when I got up from there, that knot was gone from the pit of my stomach. Now, he said, does that happen all the time, preacher? No, but it's happened to me a time enough to know that God will take that from you. If you're serious about it and you give it to God, he'll take that knot out of your stomach and he'll make a way for you. And when you give it to him, you'll have that peace, and you won't try to figure out, you won't try to second guess how he's going to fix it. You won't try to figure that out. You'll just know that he is going to fix it, and you just don't worry about it. That's what happened to me. I'm thankful to have that high priest seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me when I need, oh, and I need it. I needed a lot. Told you about the boat thing. I was there. I know I could have drowned. I know that. But I knew God had his hand on me. And Paul said this one time. He said, it is more than I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. He said, but it is more needful for you that I stay. He said, I have a desire to depart and be with God, which is far better, but is more needful for you that I stay. I thank God for sparing me the other day and not putting Joyce and my family through all that grief at this time. But God is good. I've learned to commit my cause to him. Do we commit our cause to the Lord? Or for some of us, I might mention, this is the first message I ever preached at Hope Baptist Church over 16 years ago. This is the message, the first message I preach. Commit thy cause. So do we do that? Or do we simply use God, as some preachers say, as a spare tire? Has he become just your court of last appeal? is, do we go to God after we get finished with the doctors and with the lawyers and the psychiatrists and the psychologists and the courts and the social agencies and after referring to all the latest technology and human wisdom? Is it only then that we go to God? That isn't God's plan. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You say, you don't say we shouldn't go to doctors. No, the Bible says who needs a physician but those who are sick. Doctors are good. The Bible says they are. Luke was a beloved physician. And he traveled with Paul in all his infirmities, all the latter part of Paul's ministry. Luke was right there with him, doctoring him. How about medicine? The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That means a medicine is good. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine doeth good. So those things are good. But we go to God first. And we allow God to direct us how we should go to deal with these things. My, my, my. Old Jerusalem, Matthew 23:37. Old Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophet and stoneth them which are sent in unto thee. How often would I gather thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. God's just waiting to hear from you. You got a battle going on, a struggle going on. God said, well, I haven't heard from him. Things must be going okay. I haven't heard from him. I haven't heard from her. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Are we still stoning the prophet? Are we doing like the children of Israel by not trusting in the promises God gives us to take care of us, just as a father does his children? Having ears to hear, do we really hear those promises of God? I mean, we buy into the Ephesians 2:8-9, and we buy into the fact that for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. But when it comes to stepping out on the fact that God loves you and wants to take care of your problems in His way, it's a little tougher stepping out. I don't mean you're not going to have problems. It's just that God will get you through those problems a lot easier than you will. You remember those disciples out on that ship? Boy, they're out on the boat, and hell, surely we perish. And they were commercial fishermen. They'd been there. You know who was in the boat with them? The Lord. He was in the boat with them. My. Consider the ravens, it says, the Lord said in Luke 12:24. For they neither sow nor reap, with neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Then he says in Matthew 7:11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Hey, he's waiting to hear from you. I think I'd call on God before I called the doctor. I mean, that's the order. God has an order. He don't want you to not call the doctor. He wants you to get a hold of Him first. And He'll give you wisdom on your doctrine. You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. The Bible says God can't lie to us. He's not a man that He should lie. So why don't we trust Him? What did He say? He says He shall deliver thee. Shall deliver. Not might deliver. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Anybody here been around where there's not any groceries? You go look in that refrigerator and there's just nothing there. You wonder, my, what am I going to do? Who's going to help me through this? How am I going to, and if you got children, it'll just grieve you to death. My. Hudson Taylor, great missionary, struggling for survival, on his way to China. He asked his or he was asked by his wife what he had to survive on. And he said, I've got 25 cents and all the promises of God. Hey, you have those same promises today from God that he'll take care of you if you'll let him, if you'll put him first, trust in him, depend on him. Now, you can't go out here and live like an old hound dog, live like the devil and expect God to treat you like his favorite child. But his love has never waned. He loves you the same as he loves any preacher that ever preached. He loves you. His love is, and his grace is sufficient for you. But he wants you to do right. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, is what he told Israel, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, said, I will forgive their sin, and I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. With God, it seems like there's always a quid pro quo. You do this, I'll do that. He said, you trust in my son, Jesus Christ, I'll give you his righteousness. I'll give you my righteousness, and you can inherit eternal life based on what he did. You do this, I'll do that. Psalms 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven shall no evil touch thee. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. My. Neither shalt thou be afraid when destruction cometh. Man, I don't know about this Facebook stuff. I don't look at Facebook, but every once in a while I do. I put my name up there again so I can open up a church page, but I can you imagine teenagers? One gets a little upset with another one and they start putting that stuff for the world to see. Belittling someone. Bad-mouthing someone on Facebook and those kids and that emotional state they're in. A lot of kids have committed suicide over what someone has written about them on Facebook. But God says that he'll deliver you from the scourge of the tongue. Jack Hiles had a message once. The meanest member in our church. He told the crowd one day, he said, tonight I'm going to preach on the meanest member at First Baptist Church of Hammond. That's where he pastored. And he was going to preach on the tongue, the meanest member in any church. The scourge of the tongue. It's hurtful. The Bible says that if thou repeatest a matter, thou separatest very friends. You know, I'm a big follower of this principle right here. A lot of things that go on in the church that go around with people that I know, I allow them to die a natural death. I don't run and tell this one, and I don't run and tell that one. I don't go online and tell anybody. I go to the Lord in prayer, and I ask God to work it out. If a brother or a sister is caught up in some kind of foolishness, I ask God to help them and give them grace and give them strength and hold up their arms that they might not fall, Lord, and get them out of that mess. He that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. My. But God promises here, you trust in him and you commit your cause to God, and he will deliver you from the scourge of the tongue. My. I like that promise. And neither shalt thou be afraid when destruction cometh. My, a lot of destruction going on around the world about the Guatemala mudslide. Killed maybe hundreds of people. They were missing 400 or 500 the other day and over 100 dead. 33 sailors lost at sea from that Category 4 hurricane. Folks getting killed left and right. one, as my uncle Roy would say, one tragic after another. And that's kind of how it's been this year. Wildfires burning up out west, flooding, 19 dead in the flooding on the Carolina coast. David said this. He said, "Deliver my soul, O God." When it comes to that scourge of the tongue, he said, "Deliver me from lying lips," and that kind of stuff. And Brother Phil, he said, "Verse, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man." Psalms 31:19, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Hey, you think that God isn't paying close attention to His church today? As much craziness and as much as ungodliness and as much blasphemy and abomination is going on, you think God isn't looking after you? He's drawing you closer and closer if you'll let Him. He's not going to let anything happen to you if you let Him. Oh, how often would I have gathered them together? Psalms 31:19, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them to fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Look what Joseph went through. That had to be terrible. Rejected of his own family, his own brethren. The Bible says in Genesis 39:10, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." What did Joseph do? He committed his cause unto the Lord. Sold into slavery. He's at the bottom of the barrel. "He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7. There shall not evil touch thee. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth." My, my, my. Earthquakes, mudslides, wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, wars, rumors of wars, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, peril, terrorist bombings in Turkey yesterday. All this craziness going on. And God says, "Trust me. Trust me." Romans 8:35, Paul said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" That says, "At famine and destruction thou shalt laugh." My. "Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth." See that fellow getting almost eat up by a snake the other day? I don't know about these folks who have a lion or a tiger or something for a pet. Hey, I don't even want to hunt something that can whip me. Ted, do you go bear hunting, lion hunting, any of that stuff? Me neither. And I don't even want a little goofy-looking black snake looking at me, let alone a 10 or 15, 20-foot python. Man, that's machete time. Hey, somebody asked me one time, do you guys handle snakes in that church? I said, "The only way we handle snakes at Hope Baptist Church is with a hoe." All right. Hey, but can you imagine Daniel in the lion's den? Boy, he is thrown in that den of lions. You think he wasn't scared? My. I'd say he is one scared fella. I don't like them big critters. My neighbor's across from Frank Gilbert. Who owned that corner up there where Chatham's living? I don't remember. Brunses. Might have been some of Jerry's kin. But they had black Angus cows. Now, most of us, the hillbillies that come up from Kentucky, like them Herefords. But they had them big, ugly, mean-looking black Angus cows. And had a great big Angus bull, weighed about 2,000 pounds, was meaner than a snake. And I had to walk home one night from Milan over one of my drinking buddies. Got driving, got crazy, and I got out of the car and walked home. And it is dark. And I'm walking down that road. Where's Sandy at? Walking down that road past where you and Alvin lived. And came to the T in the road. And I went around that corner and started walking down. And Then out of nowhere, I thought I heard something. And I looked over and I went, "Oh!" Man, I jumped 14 feet high. It a big bull out there bellowed. I guess it was, that's right. You remember that bull? I'll leave you alone, Sandy. It flat scared me to death. Maybe not you, but it did me. Big dark night. I'm out there in the middle of the country, and that big 2,000 pound, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a panther. Scared me to death. Daniel, he got put in a den of lions. Don't think he was just, well. Everybody started whistling when they get scared. My Uncle Harley got left off. My Uncle Estel Gabbard let Harley out off at the lane there. Cranes run over by toward Harrison. He had to walk back a long road in the dark. And he's walking. There's a covered bridge back there. And Harley's going across there. And something run up to him. And he jumped up in the air. And I was squalling and screaming and looked. And it was his dog that had come up from the house. And he come down and said, "Oh, Ranger, oh, come here. Come here, Ranger. Oh, come here." You know. Hey, a den of lions. Oh, God delivers again. Oh, my God delivers again. The king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Then the king arose very early in the morning, went to the haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king said, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me." Then the king was exceeding glad. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he believed in his God. "I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause." At destruction and famine, "Thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. For they, thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee." Joyce sang about that this morning, about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My, my, my. The king threw him in that fiery furnace. And the king gets looking out there and looking in. And they'd heated that furnace up seven times. Seven times. It was the hottest furnace they'd ever had there. And they look in. And not only do they see Shadrach. He sees Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just trotting around in there. But also a fourth man likened to the Son of God right in the fire with him. Woo! Start to feel like Jerry Clowers. Ha! Look for him. All right. Man, can you imagine that? Imagine that. It said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, Daniel 3:27, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them. Wow, who's walking with you today? Have you invited God along with you while you're in that fiery furnace? I hope he's not your court of last appeal. "I would seek unto God," it says in Job 5:8, "and unto God would I commit my cause." My, my, my. What an amazing thing to have a God who loves us enough to look after us. That the angel of the Lord encampeth about the righteous. Isn't that wild? Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm about done here. 2 Samuel 2:23, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." I went and saw a boy the other day. Boy, everybody under 55 is a boy to me anymore. Went and saw this boy. I saw him in the grocery store. I said, "Hey, how have you been?" I said, "Well, not so good." I said, "Well, how come?" I said, "I got shot 2 or 3 times. His arm was in a thing." I said, "I got shot." I said, "I almost died." He came to church here for a while. I led his 2 daughters to the Lord. I buried his mother and led his mother to the Lord. Baptized his daddy right here at Hope Baptist Church. I heard the name when that they had the news story on him, but I didn't recognize it. He goes by his middle name, and I never knew him by the name that he went by. Man, when I came to his house, he said, "Come by." He cried and said, "God had to look after me." He said, "And I've been away from God. I need to get back. I need to start doing right. Hey, I need to do right so I have that power I can call on. Oh, God's always going to hear my prayer, but if I'm living like a low-down dog, He may answer me the way I want Him to, and He may not. But the Bible says He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. I said, I was almost done. I don't want to make a liar out of myself. God is my rock. The Bible says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Jeremiah 50:34, their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is His name. He shall truly plead their cause that He may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. Have you asked the Lord to plead your cause? Job said, I would order my cause before Him and fill my mouth with arguments. Paul, first thing you got to commit to Jesus Christ is your soul. That's the starting point. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Have you done that? You committed your soul to Jesus Christ? You can stand up this morning.